This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Next week, federal weather forecasters with NOAA plan to roll out their predictions for the upcoming hurricane season, which runs from June to November. We checked in with FEMA's Bob Fenton. He heads Region 9, which covers the West Coast and the Pacific Island communities.
We know that there's a new environment we're operating with regard to COVID being around. So we're starting to have the discussions now about, you know, how do we shelter people in a COVID environment, especially on the islands where there's, you know, you can't really run from the event like you can on the mainland, at least go inland. And so how do we do that? How do we make sure that people are safe? You want to make sure individuals have food, water, and those kind of things for 14 days and make sure that they're ready. But how do we make sure those people that need to shelter are also safe? And so those are some of the things we're working on right now.
And the whole physical distancing thing just, you know, throws another monkey wrench in all this.
Yeah, it makes it complex. You know, typically we see of those that shelter, it ends up being a little bit less than 10% of the population needs shelter, that either don't have sturdy enough structures or need help right afterwards, ends up being about 10%. And so those impacted from a hurricane. And so therefore, we're working on storing personal protective equipment in our warehouse right now so that at least we can make sure people are safe. We're looking at other ways to do non-congregate sheltering or limit the number of people and social distancing shelters and those kind of things. So we're working very closely with Hawaii and ready to support their plans.
On the mainland, we saw tornadoes whip through the area there, and I recall they were discouraging them from going to a shelter because there were no shelters set up in that area, and they were encouraging them to go, I think, stay with family or friends.
I think that's a great point. If you can stay at your house and you have food and water, you should stay there, shelter there. If you have concern with regard to the structural integrity of where you live, then staying with individuals you know is probably the next best decision. There will be shelters that are available, and we are going to have to look at capacity of shelters and probably limit the capacity and take other measures to protect individuals that are in there to ensure that we don't transmit the COVID environment and create a situation where it worsens the condition that individuals are in.
And I think you folks in the Bay Area are kind of in the same stage that we are, where people are still walking around wearing masks.
Yeah, we are. We're very much in the same condition. Not only are we wearing masks, but we still haven't fully opened up yet, much like I think many of the locations just starting to open up some recreational activities, but have not yet fully opened up. I think it's going to be a new normal, and we're all going to have to adjust to that as far as making sure that we protect ourselves. So not only do you need to protect yourself, your family member, but the actions you take impact others. And so we need to be wary of that and need to be smart on the actions we take and where we, you know, and how we take those.
If there's anything that COVID-19 has done, is people are taking stock of their supplies.
Yeah, people are prepared, and I think even more prepared are aware. I don't know about you, but my house, my refrigerator is filled, and typically I come home when I get home late at night. If we're anywhere less than half filled, my wife's figuring out how to reorder, you know, online and asking me, you know, what we should put in there. So I think everyone needs to be more aware of their resources. You know, one of the things we say is make sure you have 14 days minimum worth of food. You should have water, non-perishable food, things like battery-powered radios or hand crank radios, you know, NOAA weather radio. Make sure you have flashlights, a first aid kit, prescription medications. Of course, we all have hand sanitizer now. And then, you know, cash is always important to have too. And then it's always a good time to relook at your flood insurance and other things that you could do to protect yourself beforehand.
And I'm not sure if FEMA has already processed all the claims related to our lava inundation.
Yeah, we have processed the majority of the claims. We continue to work on claims for anyone their home has not been able to be reaccessible because not being able to put roads back into the area and those kind of things. But we've essentially assisted those that needed assistance. What we continue to work on is a lot of the public infrastructure projects in and around that area to re-put roads in place. But as we know that there's still issues with temperatures of the ground and ongoing issues, so it limits the ability to rebuild quickly. And so we're working with the mayor, Kim over there, and his team, and making sure that we provide the resources and really understand how they want to rebuild, you know, those roads and that infrastructure in that part of the island.
And then with climate change and some of the more unusual and stronger storms and rain bombs that we've seen come our way.
Yeah, in fact, we just had heavy rain over on Kauai, and the governor requested a declaration from us, so we're doing assessments for that right now. a lot of road damage from slides and quick moving water and those kind of things. So we're looking at that right now for a potential declaration that he requested from the president. But sometimes when you live in a beautiful place, you got to, accept the risks that come with that. And out here in California, it's the risk of earthquake. In Hawaii, it's, especially with high mountains, it's fast-moving water in flood areas. It's things like hurricanes and tsunamis, and we just need to be ready for that individually. And that means not only having your kit ready, but having flood insurance. It means having a communication plan to talk to your family members to be able to ensure everyone's safe, making sure that you live in a house that's structurally safe. If not, do things like invest and get typhoon clips or other things that could make your home more structurally safe.
Any sense on whether the CARES Act will include, additional funding for FEMA and HAIMA?
There's definitely a lot of funding within the CARES Act already. In fact, I had a call yesterday with all the different directors of different federal agencies. We'll be bringing resources to Hawaii and talk to them about the different authorities and how do we integrate those and leverage those to help Hawaii. We know that because of COVID and not only what it's done to the Hawaii economy by having to shut down its borders and tourism and those kind of things, the impact it's had on it, but we know that COVID's around until there's a vaccine, and that means that even with reopening, there will still be limitations and impacts. And what we want to do is make sure that all the federal resources that Hawaii needs, whether it's testing supplies, whether it's being able to do surveillance, and contract tracing so that if someone does get positive, we limit the spread, whether it is having warm-based additional medical capability, whether it is, SBA loans, whether it's other infrastructure projects to help get the economy going, we want to make sure all those resources are available and ready to go when Hawaii could start opening back up again. And that's kind of what we're focused on right now. Construction has continued on, at least for essential facilities, and a lot of the infrastructure that's been damaged in past disasters in Hawaii or California are critical facilities, their roads, their bridges, their critical buildings, hospitals, those kind of things. So we've continued on with much of that, but it does limit our ability to be out there. But FEMA has probably close to 4,000 people responding to COVID across the country, and we have about 20,000 people in FEMA, so we're ready for this hurricane season, we're ready for this fire season here, California, Arizona, Nevada. We have the personnel and resources adequately to respond to that. We just need to make sure that we do it smartly.
And you have been doing lots of planning for COVID, and the response, because everybody was concerned about the curve.
The curve is bent because of leadership at the governor level, at the mayor level, and at the individual level, the Hawaii citizen. They all have to be working together to bend that curve, and we've seen that happen in the Pacific Islands first, meaning that they were early to start bending the curve. And even places like CMI is now completely flattened, and they haven't had a new case for 2 weeks. So a lot of credit goes to everyone, from the governor to the mayors to the public for listening, social distancing, being safe about how they operate. With regard to our preparedness, there's a lot of measures we put in place, a lot of resources we've brought to Hawaii, additional medical capability. We've assessed facilities to expand medical capability. We've done a lot of work with DOD and PACOM, IndoPACOM, who has tremendous capability out in the Pacific, partnering with them and other federal agencies to have resources ready on standby. We're not going to stand those down. We'll continue to have those ready, not only for COVID, but for hurricane season, as you said. And we'll continue in that type of operational effort all the way through vaccination. And I've been FEMA now for 24 years. My first disaster was a flood in Hawaii on Oahu. And I've spent probably years of my life between Hawaii, Guam, and CNMI. What I've learned over the time is even more so in the Pacific Islands, when those hurricanes and typhoons and cyclones come, they take the weirdest movements in their trajectory, and we start getting fixated on a straight line, and you never know. So really, at the end of the day, it just takes one. And that's what I would tell everyone is, make sure you take appropriate action. When there's a threat, when the weather service comes out, when the governor comes out and says, take the appropriate actions, make sure you are safe, and make sure you protect yourself and your family, and make sure you have adequate resources ready for that event. Because you never know. I can't tell you how many I've been in where I thought it was going to go south, and all of a sudden it hooked and went right into Guam or Hawaii. And so we got lucky last year with Hurricane Lane, but it can happen just the opposite, just as quick. So just be ready. It only takes one.
Okay, and I know they've been, as part of their messaging, saying might be a while, if it's bad, it might be a while before you get government assistance, so you got to kind of hunker down and take care of yourself, take care of your neighbors, and be ready to, like, ride it out.
Yeah, I think the most difficult thing, you know, about the Pacific is that long logistical lines to get there, and if we can't get the ports open right away, then you're left with airports only, and once you get those open, and you can't really bring a lot of resources in through the air, so it's critical to have those seaports back open. And logistically, the lines of the distances make it just more difficult to move resources quickly into the Hawaiian Islands. That's why the additional time, as far as 14 days being ready for, is out there, because we recognize that it will take more time to bring resources. It's not as easy as driving across the state line from California to Nevada or Arizona on a freeway. So just need to be proactive and be ready and be vigilant.
That was FEMA's Region 9 Administrator Bob Fenton talking about disaster preparedness during this COVID time. NOAA will be announcing its hurricane forecast next week.